Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all the crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me on this cattle rustling, soybean growing show is Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello. How are you, buddy?
I am just dandy. We are here to talk about the premiere-ish season premiere, Bravo premiere, series premiere, but show that already existed, McBee Dynasty today. Before we get into that, just some scheduling updates. We're going on a little July 4th vacay, so we're taking off Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. So we're going to throw up some of our we did some episodes that we recorded along the way, some classic episodes when we're on the road. So some people have been like, where are we going to hear those episodes? Well, guess what? You're going to hear them this coming up while we're on break. But that being said, we are going to be on break, so some stuff you won't be able to hear, like not hear, but meaning like we're not going to have a Below Deck recap next week, etc. So just bear with us while we take
we'll
our little break.
We'll be missing Miami, Below Deck, Atlanta won't be on, so that'll be missing.
And this. And McBee.
Yeah,
and McBee. So just thanks ahead of time for your patience. You just want to take a little break. But that being said, we are here today for some McBee Dynasty. Oh, and if you're new to Crappens because you came over from the previous season of McBee or whatever, welcome. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappens, where we offer, usually it's a weekly bonus episode, but right now it's like a lot per week because we're covering Love Island, usually about three times per week on Patreon. Also, we do something called Crappens on Demand, where you don't just listen, you can actually watch us. Every episode we do is streamed, and it's available exclusively on Crappens on Demand for a week before we put it onto YouTube. So if you want to get the full Crappens experience, go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. So we also have like a really wonderful Discord community, which you can get access to through our Patreon. So with that all being said, it is time to dive into McBee Dynasty. So I was aspiring to watch season one of the McBee Dynasty leading up to this. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch this like a Bravo viewer, which is I'm going to go into this blind. And I'm just going to go in starting where it's being presented on Bravo. But you, Ronnie, you watched all of season one leading up to this, did you not?
I did. I watched all of season one, loved it. I couldn't believe it's coming to Bravo because it's not really a Bravo style show. It's not like Hammer and all of that. It's Cowboys. So I was kind of surprised it was coming to Bravo, but what a trashy, garbagey show. I loved it. I loved the first season. I fell in love with Jesse. What a hottie. Oh my God. What a hottie.
Jesse, the longer haired one. He's the long haired one.
He's the hottest brother. He's so cute. And then Steve's kind of cute, but he's like big Lego looking. And then Cole's like the loser brother. And now the sad thing is that the father is going to jail. He will be in jail. And that's why he's not on this season. But he was the main character in the first season. So you missed all of him, Ben. So you'll have to watch it. Maybe one day you'll fall in love with this. So you'll go watch it. But the dad's just like this. And these kids, their lives are being ruined by women's. The women's are always trying to trick my boys into being in a relationship. The dad was cheated on the mom with Galina, who's the Russian lady running the hedge fund try. And then the whole season, he kept saying, yeah, kids, come on. We got to get this together. We can't have another insurance call. The insurance people are real sick of us filing insurance. Well, it turns out it's because he was filing fraudulent insurance claims up to like $4 million and his ass is going to priz. Okay. So that's why the dad's not here. And, you know, all this stuff went down and I was like, this is definitely Bravo worthy. I mean, you've got a whole cast that could go to jail at any minute. All you really need for this show is Galina anyway, because she's amazing. She's an amazing character. So anyway, it's rambling, but loved the show. And I'm so glad to be at least covering one of them here. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows how this will go? But at least we're going to cover one.
It's so funny because I thought this premiered on Sunday because we got a screener. So I watched it Sunday afternoon. And then I just, for some reason, I just thought it was premiering on Sunday. And then on Monday, I was like, I wonder how people are receiving this show, because it really did not feel like a Bravo show to me at all. Like, not just because it has to do with like cowboys, but just it felt like Bravo shows have a certain feel and a vibe and a tempo, and this show, like, to me, had none of that. And so I was like, I wonder how people are going to receive it. And I was like, wow, no one's even talking about the show. What a colossal flop for Bravo. Like, I was like, no one posts anything in our Facebook group. I'm not seeing anything on Reddit. I'm not seeing anything. There's not a single tweet about this. I was like, I searched for hashtag the McBee dynasty, hashtag McBee dynasty, everything, and not a single tweet. And then I saw it hadn't even premiered yet. I was like, okay, that explains it. But yes, today I did look and people are talking about it. So why don't we dive in on this crazy, crazy new show,
to replace the dad, Steven Sr. He was the one who narrated everything. So they got rid of him. And so now we have his like henchman, the lady who does everything around the farm, Tessa. And the whole part of the first season was her going, you know, boss, you're right. Even though he was always wrong and doing illegal shit and cheating on people. She'd be like, I get what you're coming for, boss. I get what you're coming from. Man, well, let's take care of the children. Cause that's what she calls all these grown men. So yeah. Now the new narrator is Tessa. And she's like, yeah. It all started with one man's dream. This man, Steve McBee, all he wanted was to be a patch of Missouri farmland that no one could ever take away from him and his sons, the children. But they set their sights on building a billion-dollar industry. Only problem was they were growing too fast, and they took on a potload of debt.
And then we see a flashback from last season where the dad is like, if we don't make it work, they'll take my house, your house, everything we own. And then Steven Jr. is like, we'd rather die than watch this place go down. So then Tessa's like, the boss man cooked up an idea to save the farm by investing $100 million of venture capital into the car washes. And so
his big plan was, okay, in order to get venture capital. So first of all, what he does is he'll buy a lot of stuff and then he'll add that to what he owns. And then he'll say, okay, well, my estate is now that I've got all these new tractors, my estate is worth $20 million. So then he'll get a bigger loan and then he'll buy more shit and say, okay, my estate's bigger. So now he keeps like building up all of these loans. Mm-hmm. And so because he didn't have enough of a thing to get a hedge fund, I don't even think he knows what a hedge fund is, to be honest, because he kept going, we got this venture capital thing coming up. So guys, we got a venture capital hedge fund thing. We better be nice to Galena. Am I right? And so
hedge fund is obviously a GoFundMe for planting bushes around your farm. It's a hedge fund.
Right. Well, he had no idea what it is. I still don't think he knows what it is. And so he was. Okay, so the lady who is going to be running the hedge fund is Galina, right? The Russian lady that works there. But he's also fucking Galina, but then he's also cheating on Galina on camera with multiple people. Like one other lady he's going on dates with and all this. And then he's cheating on her with this young girl in Nashville. I mean, he's cheating all over the place. Like she's never going to find out. And Galina loses her shit every single time. So she's the one in charge of this hedge fund. And because they didn't have enough, they decided they'll open all these car washes, right? So they open up all the car washes. And now people are like, well, okay, but you've just had these car washes for 5 minutes. We're not giving you a hedge fund. And so at the very end of the season of season one, Galina finds out they are not giving us the hedge fund money. And he's like, what? I can't believe it. This didn't work out. So the dad goes on the run because now he's fucked. He's taken out all of these loans. He's filed all this insurance fraud and all this stuff to keep going. And now he's not going to get this $100 million. So he literally just got in his truck and ran away.
Wow. You know, I feel like the last people on Bravo to lean into car washes were the Manzos, and that didn't really work out so well either. So I think, like, if you're a reality star, car washes are not the way out, okay?
And also, well,
it's not every day that $100 million goes walking out that their door. They bet their firm, and unfortunately, they lost. Poor old boss man, he took it harder than anyone. Hell, he just skipped it and headed out of town. Now it's time for the oldest boy to take the reins and all the hell that goes with it.
Yeah. Also, the other people that really jumped into car washes was Breaking Bad. to launder all the drug money. So that's the first thing I thought when I saw the car washes. Yeah. I was like, guys, this has been done, and we all know it's a criminal enterprise. Okay.
So we know.
Yeah.
So now, after Tessa gave a whole backstory that included the stuff, everything you said, then we go to Gallatin, Missouri, where Tessa and the employees are in the kitchen at the McBee farm. So we see Cole. Oh, this was funny to me because I feel like after she does her whole intro, we then sit through 5 minutes of watching the stars of this show with their backs to us. Cause it's like we cut back and forth between like Cole and, Steve Jr. washing dishes and, or Steve Jr. is cooking something at his stove and Cole's washing dishes. And it's like two cross-cutting scenes of these two guys. They're literally their backs to the camera. I was like, this is a great start to the show. Love this. Excited to meet the stars here.
It's reality. So Cole's the youngest brother and he's the biggest loser. Like he's really dumb and he's not hot, right? Because the other two brothers are hot as fuck. Like one of them's from Joe Millionaire. That's Steve. And then Jesse. I mean, Jesse's just hot as hell. Like everybody loves Jesse. And then you've got Cole with his tiny little mouth and he's like, I should run this farm. I'm not the best at running the farm. Nobody trusts me with shit. I mean, that guy knows money, sure, but I know how to clean a horse. And they're like, oh yeah, it's not really about cleaning a horse, bro. And so he's always trying to undermine his brothers, but he's the biggest loser. And so he went off and like gained a ton of weight. And I don't know, he had one of the biggest season two changes, but he's also the biggest shithead. So it's kind of nice to see him not doing great.
There's like a dust up about how he was on Twitter throwing around the F word for years and years. like, shut up, you liberal F word. Shut up, you liberal F word.
Yeah, that does not shock me. Yeah.
So I'm not, so I'm not glad surprising at all.
Yeah, so I'm glad he got fat. That's what you get, Cole.
I mean, it was
a lot of calories. Okay.
Now, it was all the way back in 2017, so I will allow people to grow and change, but I have a feeling he probably is not. So we
but he says things kitchen. Like this, Ben. So they use the clapboard in front of his face for his interview, and he goes, did DJ Khalid use that? It's like his only point of reference.
Yeah, he's like, hip-hop, am I right? Hey, it's about to start getting real busy around here. First of all, we're going to get into fall calving season on the farm where the cows have their babies, and you check them every day, and you make sure there's no complications. So we like to call it cow ER. You know, we play the music, and then we say, I need 10 C's of milk, stat. And then we milk the cow. It's fun.
Yeah, you know, we have calving season. We want to make sure those cows are healthy before we kill them and eat them. So, and Jesse's like, yeah. And at the same time, the farm has a harvest season. It's coming up here pretty quick. And so, you know, they're explaining harvest season, whatever that means. And Steve's like, yeah. And fall harvest season, that's the most important time because we've got $6 million payment that's due by November 1st. And if that doesn't happen, the world is going to sink in on itself and we're all going to die.
Yeah. So then we see Steve Jr. and his girlfriend Kala, and they're working outside. And Kala's like, last year, Stephen and I made it Instagram official. A lot has happened since then because Stephen and I have been through a lot of ups and downs. And so we see like flashbacks of all the stuff they went through last season. And she's like, we've gone through a lot together, but we love each other. And the only times we're really ever had major issues is when other people get involved. And then she spends the rest of the episode complaining that other people didn't get involved in their life.
Truly. Okay. So her backstory is she met Steve Jr. on Joe Millionaire. And she was a contestant, and I guess she won with him or something. So that's how they met. So she's long distance, but he, last season, he's like, you literally cannot meet a man or meet a woman where I live. There's no women. There's like men. And then everyone who's here is married. Like there's nowhere to date. If you go on Tinder, there's literally no one. So I have to stick with this chick who lives in like Nashville or some shit. So it's very romantic. He's like, I stay with Kala because there's literally no one else. So the dad hates Kala because she's like a strong, independent woman. And the dad thinks women are just trying to steal his children from him. Like the dad wants to just go out and party with his kids and get, you know, get laid everywhere they go. And the women get in the way. But Kala is not going to stand for it. But then also Kala gets super wasted and like tells everybody off. And so the dad thinks that she's not enough of a lady for his men. Meanwhile, he's fucking three people at the same time. It's fucking
me. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's exactly. Alice's thing. So now she's super upset, but we'll find out later. So now we go to Cole and his girlfriend, Casey, who I normally like, but she's trying me today.
Mm. Yeah, because she's pregnant, right? She's the pregnant girlfriend.
Well, she's not trying because she's pregnant.
I didn't mean it that way.
I'll hit that pregnant witch.
She's reproducing women. They just want to trap you and have babies. So they're just like cleaning and talking about having a baby. And Casey's like, Cole and I weren't talking about having children and the baby was unplanned, but we're both very excited. In fact, the doctor, well, we had an ultrasound and the doctor said, if you listen closely, you can hear the baby using the F word already. So we're just so proud.
She's like, this is all I wanted since I met him. But, you know, I just, ever since I met him, I knew I loved him. Casey, you are such a fucking liar. That is not true. She told the story of when they met last time. They met with a group of friends and he was kind of a wuss and didn't do anything. And then they saw each other a few months later and like he made a move or something. But it was never like, I just knew I always loved him. But now she's pregnant, so she's changed her story. It's like, it's a love story for the ages.
So Cole's saying, yeah, but you know, you'll be doing most of the feeding though. And the last few weeks they've been really filling up. I think something looks a little different. She's like, hey, free boob job. He's like, no, I was talking about the cows. It's calving season coming up. I think they're gonna have a bunch of calves.
Can't we just latch that baby onto a cow and watch it go?
When I met him back in 2019, that's just always what I wanted. When I first met him, I said, I knew I loved him. And though through the last 6 years, I've never seen myself with anyone else. Like literally there's no one else for me to choose from. So I literally can't see myself with anyone else. Like I cut out my picture and tried to attach to someone else's photo. And it was just a picture of grass. I was just sad. So it just took us a long time to figure it out. That's all.
Now, did I end up with the tiniest mouth hole, no-lipped motherfucker on this family? Sure. But you know what? You take what you get. That's what I always say. I'm going to name my kid Settle. Settlin. Settlin McBee.
Does he sort of look like Meryl Streep doing some sort of very strange farm role? Perhaps. But I kind of think that's attractive.
He's like, yeah. I mean, we're going to have a kid. Jesse and Allie are getting married this year. You got bigger boobs. Things are crazy, Faggito Burrito. It's like, come on, Cole, we're on TV. It's like, that's what DJ Khalid would say.
So now we go over to Jesse and his fiancee, Allie. They're bringing in horses. And Jesse's like, what do you have going on this week? She's like, dress fitting for the wedding? Oh, yeah. Have our invites been sent out? No. Do you have Kyle on the list?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was their scene. This is very much this couple. Not even having wedding invites. I believe that. So we go back to Steven Jr. He's cooking eggs in his towel. And Gala is there in the kitchen with him. And he's like, I'm excited for this barbecue. We're going to play volleyball, swim in a lake, have fun. And it's important because we run this town, you know. And it's important to keep the town not resentful at us. Because, you know, if they are, then we're not going to be able to pay that $6 million. Everything's going to fold in on itself. We're all going to die. She's like, oh, my God. He's like, you're going to talk to the girls? And she's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I even want to initiate a conversation because, like, my sister died and, like, no one even texted me. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's bullshit. My sister died and no one can even text me.
Yeah, so she does tell the story. Her sister, she was really close with her. They used to sleep in each other's beds most nights. And then she died and she was struggling with addiction. And, you know, and then she was... Kala was upset because she got texts from like people that she's known for like hasn't even talked to in 5 years, but then her potentially future sister-in-laws wouldn't even text her, which I think is pretty shitty. So she's like really mad.
Well, until we find out why later, but I still think it's shitty, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty shitty. So he's like, well, I talked to my brothers about it and they didn't know what to say. You know, they just didn't feel like you were very approachable. You know, it's very important. If you want people to be there for you when your sister dies, you need to be a more approachable person about it.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to be hugged, you need to be huggable, Kala. Okay. This is your fault.
And then we go back to Jesse and Allie, and Jesse's like, well, I do regret not texting her. I wish we would have now. And Allie's like, I agree. She's like, yeah. I mean, he's like, yeah, looking back on it, I thought it was the right thing to just stay out of it because I didn't think she'd want to hear from us, you know? She's like, Allie had no interest in texting her. You can just tell. She's like, I'm fine with it.
And I like that he wishes that he did the bare minimum too. He's not like, oh, we should have called her or sent her flowers or let her know that we were there for her. He's like, I guess we could have just sent a text. So then back to Steven, he's like, yeah, you know, this tension between Casey, Allie, Kala, listen to all those names, Casey, Allie, Kala, okay, it puts me in the worst place possible, literally between a rock and a hard place, because I'm the leader of this family now. And Kella's like, I mean, they could at least reach out and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for you. Like, Jesus. But like, I'm not going to beg somebody to be a decent human being to me.
Well, you meant the right family because they're not going to do that for you.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now we go back to Cole and Casey. Now they're feeding baby cows. And Casey's like, they're getting big. Do you think our baby will eat this fast? He's like, I don't know. Hey, Dixie down the bottle. Look at that thing. It's already gone. Hey, so Kala, you guys still haven't, you haven't talked to Kala yet, have you? She's like, no. And I wouldn't go out of my way to be rude to her and not talk to her. But the last thing that we knew is that they were broken up and she moved back to Texas. So Stephen told us not to speak to her anymore. So it turns out Stephen had told everyone not
to. Too. Stephen tells everybody not to speak to her, and he's the boss now, so they don't speak to her. And then Stephen's acting like, well, they just didn't know what to say about it, honey, instead of saying, I told them they couldn't speak to you. You see? Fucking liars. Every guy in this family is a big liar, by the way, except Jesse. Then Cole, back to Cole, he's like, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you ain't DJ Khalid if you're not DJ Khalid, am I right? And it's up to you to do what you want to do. I'm not going to support you, obviously, and our kid, but, you know, I do want to keep my relationship with my brother, so you better make up with Kala, okay? You better do it.
Well, I never asked you not to do that. Why are you saying that? It's like, well, do what you want. It's like, but wait, I said a million times I've fixed things and I never said anything mean. I never came at either of them before. Now you want to make me feel like this. Why are you doing this to me? He's like, now I know you haven't said that. It's like, I know, but you act like I'm the one that's doing it. You're the one's making me feel bad.
Yeah, because of course these fucking guys are like, hey, Steven doesn't want you calling Kala, so don't do it. And they're like, okay. And then the second Kala's back in the picture, they're like, man, the girls are bitches, aren't they? God, let's blame it all on the girls.
Yeah, so, and then he's like, yeah, I just don't want to lose my relationship with my brother because you didn't text Kala. And she's like, but wait, you told me not to text her.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, so I'm going to lose my relationship with my brother by going behind his back and taking out a $2.5 million loan on some land.
He's like, look, you did nothing wrong, and I don't want you to get stressed out like this. You're a woman, okay? You don't understand things in life. That is your role. And it's just a bunch of dumb drama. It's like women drama, honestly, if you think about it, but it's between the men, which is strange. And it's really because they break up all the time, and they can't fix their own relationship.
Cows are for milking, not for fighting. Okay, honey? It's like I always say. It's like... She's got really bad pregnancy hormones because the first year Casey said nothing. I think she said she would be like, hey, Kala told us that Steve gives her like $10,000 at a time. Y'all better start giving us some money. But other than that, she really never said anything. And this is the most line she's ever had in a row. Like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Like, honey, please sit down. So then we go to the McBee car wash. And we get to see my favorite character, Galena.
Yes. So Steve is like, good morning, everybody. Obviously, we're about to start harvesting everything. So let's get right to it. She's like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like literally starting to have panic attack over our yields.
I'm having panic attack over yield. Okay. I go to bed, I think yield. I wake up in the morning, I think yield. I cannot go to the bathroom without thinking yield. He's like, ironically, yeah, well,
intersections, I don't think yield.
Say ironically.
Intersections, I don't think yield. All right, everyone. Well, in the financial state of the farm, we are leveraged out. We got close to $7 million in debt between payroll, meat facilities, seed fertilizer, fulfillment center, moisturizer, vehicles, fuel, repair, cattle, utility, towels, insurance, little cute, you know, seasonal decorations that you get at Target from the Joanna Gaines section. Bought a lot of those. Medicine, attorney, wow, just it all keeps me up at night, okay? We could lose our entire company immediately.
Here's what we're going to focus on. Meat. That's it. Meat. I'm letting go of thousands of acres. Ranching is at an all-time high for cattle prices, and that's where we need to be going. Meat. So then we go to Jesse, Cole, and Jake, who's a farmhand, who I think is a meth head. I'm not sure. So then Jake's like, we get... No one alleged that. I'm just going off face. Okay. So Jake's like, yeah, we get big bad Steven up here instead of at the gym. Look at that. Someone's coming to work instead of working out. Wow. Hoo-hoo, big brother. Look at him coming to work. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to do some squats, big boy?
And Cole's like, well, he's too busy to work. You know, don't you know? He's got to get his lifts in. He can't be building fences on the farm, right? It's like, well, boys, I got news for you. I think he dropped a big, big chunk of the farm. We already dropped Weller and Milan and Maysville and Mercer Miller and Malum and Watermelon. Watermelon County dropped. And I'm assuming you probably are not aware of that yet, are you, Cole?
And Cole's like, well, yeah, Steven's plan ain't as bulletproof as what he thinks. You guys, he's selling off your stuff because your dad filed fake insurance claims and you have to pay back the government. I love that they're that all of them are like fucking Steven and his working out and his hotness. He's just had to ruin us all.
So we see a flashback of all the brothers in the office and Steven's just like yelling at them. He's like, the plan to escape here is we're going to call it Get the Fuck at Furman. And we're going to focus on the meat company and the cattle. And I know that there's going to be growing pains. I know it. But we're getting the fuck out of Furman.
And you can believe me, guys, because I've got a whiteboard. The whiteboard. Yeah. Look, I'm writing this down. Fuck Furman. Okay? I'm circling it and making a pyramid. What does it mean? Nobody knows, but meat. Okay.
We have a plan because I've drawn a very simplistic bar graph. Okay. First bar shows like smiley faces, how happy we are. Second bar shows pecan pies. How many pecan pies are we going to make for Thanksgiving? Third bar, debt. Notice it's down. It's the negative one. That says we owe $7 million. So now we got a plan.
That bar chart was so fucking funny. He's like, look, this is us doing good. Happiness. Whoa, doing bad. It's all the way down. You understand now?
$7 million in debt. It's below the line. See, that's bad.
So
that's
back to the
closer to hell.
Yeah. Back to the car wash. Steven's like, yeah, I mean, our payments for all the loans we got. I mean, by the end of the year, we need to have $6 million in the banks by November. And Galena goes, oh, yeah, a minimum of that, you know, and the crop prices, they suck. And, you know, the thing is with cattle operation, we're not trapped into regulated price. We can charge based on our quality. You know, you have a prettier cow, it goes much better than for ugly cow. That's just it. So I say we give lip injections to the cows. We color up the cows. We can make more money. That's just it. It's simple math.
Yeah, Galena is part owner for all of our companies because of everything she does on the financial side. I need her now more than ever because, you know, crop prices are crap. We should just call them crap prices. So then we go back to Cole and he's like, oh, yeah, boss Steven, greatest thing on life to run everything. He knows everything. Steven just sees numbers. If it were up to him and there was money somewhere else, he would get rid of the farm in a heartbeat. It's like, well, the farm's $6 million in debt. So, yeah, I think that sounds like a pretty good idea. Maybe get rid of this farm.
Why, Steven thinks he can run a business by only thinking about numbers? Yeah, stupid. I think he's supposed to be thinking about. So then Tessa pulls up her truck to Steve's house, Steve Sr.'s house. This is the dad's house. So now we see Masha, who's this new blonde, and she's driving a Porsche, which they are sure to get 5 close-ups of different angles of the Porsche logo on this car. And so Tess is like, whoa, I'm going to put this as kindly as I can. Boss man, he traded it in last year's model for a new one. Tessa's loving this, by the way.
Yes, she is really loving it. And so Masha's like, hello, Tessa. And she's like, nah, this is not the place to wear heels. You got to take those heels off, Russian city lady. And she's like, no, I know. I noticed that gravel. It's very strange. So Tessa's like, I mean, I started to laugh, but it's just you can't make this stuff up. So she brings Masha into this house. This is Steve Sr.'s house, his big house. And she's like, I can't believe you're coming to the farm in this attire. You're going to ruin the meals in 2.5 seconds. Now, the boss is out of town, and he said I was supposed to bring you in here. So here's the key. Here's the key to the house. Now, you understand, there's a light switch to turn lights on and off. You turn it up to turn it on, and down to turn it off. You understand that? Masha's like, yes, I've been in the house before. I understand light switch.
Child, I hope you know what you're doing coming up in here. This is dangerous territory, heel wear. You could die looking like that in this house, goddamn idiot woman. And so the producer's like, okay, well, tell us who this Masha is. Is she the Galina replacement? She goes, damn straight. The Russian thing's been, you know, new. It's not new, you know. I mean, this is the second one in a row. Well, you got just a bus of Russians coming over here. Okay, look, this is how it looks most of the time. This is the kitchen. Gunner ain't potty trained. He's a bad child. You're a bad child. If Gunner gives you any problem, just threaten to put him down or something, kick him outside. Here's how it is. Here's the sink. It turns on with a knob. Do you know how knobs work, Misha?
She's like, I understand how things work. I'm not a stupid lady.
Okay.
So then Tessa says, I'll tell you what, the things that my boss gets me into, it seems like I'm always doing it dirty work. And then we see a flashback, which I'm sure you can provide some more context as what was happening in the scene with these girlfriends and Galina and messiness.
Because Galina had her car in the shop or no. So Galina, so Steven Sr.'s girlfriend that he was cheating on Galina with was named Brooke. And so Brooke had her car in the shop. So she needed to borrow a car. So he loaned her Galina's car without telling her.
Wow.
So Brooke took out Galina's car and crashed the car. And the car place called Galina, was like, oh, we've got your car. And she went to pick it up. She's like, what the fuck happened to my car? She's like, this fucking whore, you get my car to your fucking whore. And it became this huge fight. She's like, I'm walking out of this business and hedge fund. It is either her or I. It is her or I. There, it's a decision. He's like, oh, yeah, this is the last time you get to give me an ultimatum.
I love that that's what his takeaway is, not like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. So Tessa's like, well, man, Shan, this is awkward to do. And do you find this quite awkward? Like, what do you think about this? She's like, no, I don't find awkward. This what happens. People meet people through friends. That is life, you know. She's like, well, I hope you don't mind if I overstep my bounds. You might just tell me. She's like, no, it is fine. It is fine. I understand. You know, I am gold digger, and this is how it goes.
All right, well, let me give you all the tea. Masha first met Steve McBee through old Galina. And then we see a flashback to last season where Galina's like, oh, it is Masha. Masha, I would love you to meet Steve, the love of my life. And so we know that Masha made her way in there
through
and Galina. Stole that man. Mm-hmm. So Tess is like, okay, well, this is a kitchen. This is where things are cooked. You probably won't be able to do it. I'll probably do it because I'm the one who takes care of the children.
No, I've been here before, so I'm just dropping off my stuff and I'm going to check on chickens. It's like, oh, I see. Just a little advice, by the way. Make sure that you ask the boss if it's okay to start messing around with this little nest because, you know, those chickens, you got to be careful with them. She's like, oh, fine. I like chicken. He told me do whatever you want to do. If you want to poison Galina, that is okay. So bring whoever you want to bring.
Well, I think I've got it from here. Thank you for the key. I hope to see more of you here, stupid old lady.
It's like, okay, well, I hope to see you too in more reasonable shoes.
So now, Kala goes and meets with Galina at a cafe in their town. And so they get like iced chai and chocolate mocha. I was like, wow, how city like. And so they like sit on a bench and everything. And Kala's like, she's like, you don't really come up to Gallatin too much anymore, do you though, right? She's like, no, not really. Not as much as I used to. It's been quite a bit of changes happening. So tell me about you and Steven so that way I can be distracting myself from the betrayal of Steven Sr.
Yeah, we're doing good. Are you sure? And they start laughing. It's like, yeah, because like, my sister passed. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about that. I was going to maybe text you, but then I thought, why waste the money? You know what I mean? Like, thank you. You know, but I didn't really get what I needed from him at that time. And the girls, like, what bitches? Like, we're close. Like, I remember we hung out one time and I told him that Steven gives me $20,000 sometimes. Or there was like this other time where we like had toast together. So like, we were super close. And they didn't even text me, and that was shitty. And like, am I being sincere right now, or is that weird? Like, am I sincere?
Just no, it's weird. It's my second language, but I think you're using sincere wrong.
No, I'm like totally sincere about it. I'm pissed.
It's like, okay, but you know, they're guys. Like, you cannot date McBee and expect sensitive. Am I right? What fucking losers?
Honestly, like, yes. Because, like, exactly what you're saying right now, Steven does to me all the time, and it makes me so mad. Like, okay, like, so what is going on with Steve, by the way? Steve Sr., like, are you single? Are you dating? She's like, I am definitely single. Look, I have breakup makeup on, okay? I'm just going to lay it out. Yeah, single and ready to mingle. Well, not really mingled. There's no one here. I mingled with Lamppost, but that didn't really go so well. We're going to go on a second date anyway, but he doesn't really talk because he's object. But whatever. You know, Steve was my boyfriend. Steve and I broke up because I found out he was fucking my friend, Masha Slut, while I was still living in the house. I was so severely backstab, and I wasn't going to just die from it.
It's like, yeah, well, I wanted to hear it from you, the source, rather than hear it from everybody else. Like, I'm so sincere right now. She's like, well, I moved out of Lodge and I have my own house in Kansas City. I cut my hair. I redone the way I do my makeup. I mean, I'm trying to give heal. I'm like, yeah, that's healing. And that's, she did get the second season housewife glow up where it's like Botox, Botox, haircut, good hair dye, hair comb. I mean, Galena needed some work and she looks great. She came back.
But it's like a USA Network. It's like a USA Network glow up, which is different from the Bravo glow up because the Bravo glow up also involves usually like a totally new face. And she just has like more like eyeliner on.
I think she did some filler eyeliner and way better hair. Like maybe some Kerastastin or whatever they call that. What is it? Kerastas. And
Kerastas. Yes.
Eyeliner, whatever.
She got the Lisa Barlow treatment.
Yeah.
So Kala's like, well, I knew after you had already moved into the new house. I think like we went over for dinner or something and Masha was there without you. And I was like, that's weird. I'm so sincere about that. Everybody thought it was like very fucked up. Did anyone text you about it? Because no one texted me. Did you know that anything about it while it was happening? Like she literally just like snuck in. She's like, oh, yes, she did. And she was like the biggest freaking backstabber ever. So Galena says how like Masha starts reaching out to me and I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody from country, home country that can speak my language. We had something, I thought, in common.
Yeah, they met 13 years ago and were each other's only Russian friends in this town. And Masha came in and snaked the man. And it's cold because you see the clips of her being like, oh, Masha, I'm so good to meet you. And Masha's like, hello, it's so good to only be friends. And be completely respectful in situation. I mean, ultimately, obviously, it's Steve Sr.'s fault. But this is still super shitty of this Masha chick.
Yeah, it really is.
So then Kala's like, yeah, she's a steak. And she goes, gold digger whore has her moves. Everything so sneaky behind back. They were laying straight to my face. They were lying straight to my face. And she goes, you know, and people come to me and say, you're not the first one she does it to. She done it to multiple men and women. You know, she befriend woman. She pretends she knows her language. And then she go after man. This is her way to support herself. And Kala's like, yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, well, you know what she told Steve? She's taking entire summer off to focus on him. Ridiculous. I'd be on trip and she'd be like, oh, can I come to Lodge? And I'd be like, well, that's weird. I'm not there, but I trust you. I literally said the exact words. I trust you. I wish I had said, I trust you, bitch, slut, fucking whore.
I would never do that to other woman. Ever. Ever would I do that. And then Kala goes, yeah, I think that Galena has amnesia because, like, you were the other woman. Like, you did the exact same thing to Christy McBee. Like, they had children involved, too.
That's fucked up, too. I didn't know this, that Galena knew Christy, the wife, the first wife, and, like, befriended her, I guess, and then snaked the man away. God, Steven's such a pig, too. She goes, I mean, Galena's situation is more fucked up than the Masha and Galena situation.
But she doesn't say that because she's not a total idiot.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I think that like Masha's staying up at the lodge, so I just want to make sure that you're aware of that so you guys don't run into each other. She's like, yes, yes, no, of course. Thank you for letting me know that. I will absolutely not go to the lodge to see her. I will not do that at all.
I'm not furious at all. I have no feeling about this, nothing. You know, I need to go to the restroom. I will be right back.
She gets up and walks off, and Kala goes, you guys, do you think she's going to leave?
Just see Galena jump in her car and speed the fuck out of there. And she gets on the phone. She's like, you motherfucker, you will die in sleep. Okay, I found out you're a little whore. Your whore is here. This fucking gold digging whore has balls to show up again. You don't give a fuck. I hope this fucking whore goes to hell. Okay, I'll give her that much. This cheap whore got some ball, but no brain.
If you are satisfied with your message,
Press one. Oh, sorry. The mailbox is full and cannot accept.
Unfortunately, Masha has filled up her mailbox with messages from Steve, the person who used to bang.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Then we go back over to Steve Jr. He's arriving at the offices on the farm. And Galina is there. This is a whole other scene. And he's like, hey, Galina, what are you up to? She's like, oh, perfect timing. She's like, yeah, well, you look nice. Did you just come from the car wash? She's like, no, but that's not what I'm worried about right now. She's like, well, what do you got? She's like, well, I think you need to look at this. And it's basically documents about Masha's car. And he's like, is this about Masha? He's like, yeah, whatever. Just another horse name. I don't even track all the names of them, whatever her name is. He's like, wait, what? What is this? $7,000 for her car? $7,000 in damage? What happened to her car? Hood, front door, rear lens, rear bumper? And we see pictures of Masha's car, which has mysteriously just been someone went to that lodge and beat up Masha's car.
I was laughing so hard at this part. I was cheering in my house. I was like, yes, Galina. And Steven's just looking at her. She's like, I don't know what happened. It's crazy. This lady's car, I guess we have to pay for it now. What a whore, right? And he's like, did you do this? She's like, nope. He's like, nope. I know Galina, and I can see that look in her eye. They look crazy. And that's when all bets are off. And she does have those like little shining eyes. She's like, nope, no idea what happened to car. I don't know.
No, I don't know. Took a Louisville Slugger with both hands on, but not to car. Just played baseball with it.
And he's like, well, I would say the odds are, I don't know, 0.11% that this is true. Because I've seen Galina react to the other woman my dad's dated. And then we see a clip of the other one. This whore crashed my Escalade.
Yeah, it was 100% Galina without a doubt. Seems like this has been a last order from my dad, where he goes in Captain Chaos, causes an absolute mess of things, and then I just have to follow behind him and pick up the pieces. And I've got so much going on right now that just trying to keep the damn farm and ranch alive. God, this has been shit. Oh my God, there, Galina, can you just put down that slugger? That was not her pulling into the parking lot. Please
what
put
are
down
you
that
talking
bat.
About? What are you okay, talking we, about?
Can we just erase those Carrie Underwood MP3s from her phone, please? It's giving her too many ideas.
So Steven's driving now, and the office manager calls him. She's like, hey, Steven, how are you? So I just wanted to call and let you know that the lease is finalized on that ground up on Highway 69. He's like, what lease? Oh, you know, the one right across from the road from Cox. You know, it's brand new ground, you know, like 237 acres of coal was working on. Don't you? Cole, you know, your brother. Didn't he tell you about it?
First of all, this is not New York City or Los Angeles. We don't allow cocks around here. Okay. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
So how do you run a business and you don't know that someone is taking out money to sign a lease on a huge farm? Like, that's crazy. He needs to pay more attention.
Yeah, exactly. So then Cole is at like a farm. So Steven shows up and then they're like, okay, we're going to have a fight and this won't be scripted at all. Okay, now let's start our fight. So Steven comes in. He's like, Cole, did you sign a fucking lease without me? I am angry. And Cole's like, yeah, I did. I signed a damn good lease. I'm angry too. Yeah, well, you think you're a big boy now? You want to cut that check? I'm still angry, doing a good job being angry. And this is genuine anger right now.
Have you not heard we need $6 million by November 1st? And he's like, well, I'm trying to do us a favor by making more money for us right now. I mean, what do you think? You can just work out and that's all you got to do? This is a money-making farm. I know about money-making farms. He's like, what part of, did you see the whiteboard? We are not farming. It said, fuck farming. Do you need me to show you the bar going down again for you to understand how much farming sucks?
Well, I'm trying to do us a favor by making money for us right now. I can tell you right now, this is money making. I bet you right now there's 60 bushels of soybeans on it, every bit of it. I mean, it looks insane. If it wasn't for the farm, we wouldn't have nothing. Think about how everything started. Look at the meat facility, from our cows, from our farm.
Cole, I've got news for you. You've got nothing now. You're $6 million in debt, bro. And that's just like the minimum payment, okay?
And he's like, I'm not going to get screamed at like this after I'm just doing what's right for our farm. We always been bigger than the raw crop size. Steven's convinced there's no money left in it, but I think it's just the best of what's to come. So he wants to sell farms. I'll keep buying farms then.
You're going to be paying for that damn lease out of your own account. That was fucking dumb.
Well, we all know that Cole, we know from last season, Cole has $1,200 in his account. So that's not going to happen. No. So Cole's like, well, I do it every day. And Dad told me to have more confidence in myself.
And then we see a clip from last year where Steve Sr. is like, hey, you need to have more confidence in yourself. I mean, sure, you're kind of a loser. Nobody believes in you because you suck at most things you do. But you should really trust your instincts, Cole.
So, yes, the brothers are mad at each other. And then we cut to Tessa just being like, Amazing Grace, how sweet you are. Oh, it's a tractor. So she's like, just singing it by the tractors. And she's like, oh, Steven, I got a trivia question for you. I just heard this morning. Okay, you see that little door hanging off that machine right there over there? What do you reckon that door is called? He's like, trap door. Yeah, that's the technical term. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. And God is my witness, it's called. Wait for it, everyone. Wait. Okay, is everyone listening? It's called the dribble door.
Oh,
it's like slapping herself and like cracking up.
A dribble door, can you believe it? You know why? Because it keeps corn from dribbling out into the beans, I reckon.
That makes sense. They make underwear with that. Why don't you laugh at my joke? You think the dribble door is funnier than my joke? Okay, wait, hey, you got a second? Hold on 1 second. Let me get into character. I'm pissed as hell. Sorry, I forgot I was angry. I just had a very real angry scene with my brother.
So he's like, can you believe Cole signed a new lease deal? It's a little bit of a bombshell. I even showed him a whiteboard. I mean, what the heck? Like, you're upset, but you know he's a boy, and we're not allowed to be a boy, mad at boys in this family. You just gotta love him, because Cole's just trying his best to get his, you know, something good going on, so you just gotta love him. You gotta be a good brother to him.
But we can't just drop acres over here and over there because our expenses are locked in for like 2, 3, 5 years. So how do I know he's even looking at when the leases expire? I mean, when we can drop land over here to pick this up, we can't do that. She's like, yeah, I would have thought surely he would have checked on them. Can we talk a little bit more about the dribble door? I wasn't quite done with that discussion yet.
Well, you know, Cole's got such a tiny mouth, and he done got any lips, and he's always looked up to you. And I'm sure he was just trying to make you proud. I'm sure he was. Okay? You've just been so wonderful with them boys. Y'all know how to use the sink, thanks to me. Okay? You watch over him. You bring him through the good and the bad. I know your heart. I know it. Be good to your brother. Be good to him.
She just is like, I'm just going to cry till this guy gets out of my face and I can go back to laughing at the dribble drawer. So she's like, those boys working together sometimes like oil and water. And I guess I'm the impartial judge because I love oil and water together. You ever put it on a sale? Of course you don't. That's for gay folk. Anyway, they don't, but I love them equally. And I could no more choose than nothing, whatever. I want that dribble drawer. So Stephen Jr. is like, well, maybe he did look it up and he's got a plan in place, but he should have called me first, you know?
Well, you gotta remember that you've got a penis and he's got a penis. So you've got a mutual enemy, vaginas. Concentrate on that. By the way, if I told you, I'm sorry for having a vagina. I'm so sorry.
I mean, 300 acres row crops times $200 an acre. Can you do that math?
18.
Yeah. I can't do it either. And all I know is that we're really expensive. I'm just going to say it's a $60,000 mistake.
Well, you got every right to be concerned. Thank God he's got you, boss man.
Listen, we've all got to be on the same page moving forward. And if the left hand isn't talking to the right hand, that means that someone's masturbating, okay? So we're going to end up completely flopping in the pan with the farm.
So then we go to Casey and Cole, and Casey is feeling insecure because she's pregnant. She's put on a little sundress for this party, and she's like, do I look weird? And he goes, no, you look cute, like a little Amish girl. Kidding. Such an idiot. Why would you have a baby with this person? My God. He's like, so I'm excited about Jess's barbecue tomorrow. You know who's coming?
And she's like, Scholar, Baylor, Braden. I'm just going to list stupid names and hope some of those people show up. Scholar, Baylor, Braden, Dayton, Shootin', Putin, Lockton, Blackton, Newton.
So then Tessa and Calla arrive at the farm, and Tessa's like, how are you feeling, sweet thing? She's like, oh, it's just a little, I don't know, a little spicy gout. Well, listen, you could literally see the steam coming off. Are you girls all right? She goes, yeah, I mean, it's whatever. And then we see a flashback to Calla, like, complaining to Galena, saying that no one texted her. She's like, well, there's been a lot of stuff going on. I just want to make sure you, especially you girls, are okay. You know, having vaginas and such, you're prone to making mistakes. She's like, yeah, well, we've just been on a weird page since my sister left. And, like, nobody really reached out to me or said, like, one word to me about it, so I'm just, like, kind of hurt by that. It's just been a lot.
Yeah, and so, well, you know, y'all are girls, okay, and girls gotta stick together, because without girls, who's gonna support the children, okay? You gotta forgive them. They don't understand about sisters dying, okay? You guys gotta understand them. Please lift up these boys. Please lift them up. I can't do it if these boys are upset.
I do get what you're saying. I just feel weird about initiating the conversation. I don't want to come off any type of way. And obviously my feelings are, like, really hurt by this.
Well, now listen, maybe you could say something like, hey girls, my sister died. Maybe you could text me. Something like that, you know, maybe just something like that.
Yeah, 100%. I would like to get this behind me because I'm already dealing with, like, so much. Like, I made some brownies for this party and that took a lot out of me. So I don't need this on my plate as well.
And Tessa's like, well, I come from a family of tragedy. Have you ever heard me sing the song about the dribble door? It's a rough one. It's a rough one. Friends are close. You gotta keep them close to you, honey.
My grandaunt's sister-in-law died by a dribble door, so been wanting to know the name of that thing for many years. Finally, vengeance will be mine.
So she's like, yeah, like 100%, we should sit and talk about it, but like I'm already dealing with so much, like I don't need this on my plate as well. So
now we go to Jesse and Allie's farmhouse, and they're opening up some frozen french fries, put in the air fryer, basically, but it comes with seasoning, so it has green stuff on it. They're like, what's that? That's gross. It looks like spinach. So then Brayden and Jake walk in, like, hi, look at our french fries. What? It's got green stuff in it. Yeah, it's french fries for seasoning. What? That's crazy.
Yeah, and they're like, that just didn't mix well. What do we do? So they end up throwing it away, dumbasses. So Jake comes over and he's like, hey, what kind of barbecue you guys having? Do you guys put any planning into this at all? Or what? Are we just going to watch Steven work out all day? Big boss man working out, doing some scrunches, huh? Is that what we're going to do? Is that a barbecue now? Just watch Steven work out? Hoo-wee!
And then Cole and Casey arrive, and I did love how Allie was just like, look at this fucker, because Cole and Casey get out of the truck, and she's full on pregnant, and he just gets out of the truck and just walks to the house, like, he's not like waiting for her or anything, he just starts walking to the house, and Allie's like, look at him, leaving Casey behind, and I was like, oh, I love that Allie doesn't like this guy.
Yeah, he's just a piece of shit, Cole. He's just the rudest. Like, he has no manners. He's an idiot. He's not hot. Like, there's nothing redeeming about this guy.
No.
So Casey's like, oh my God, I'm having so much anxiety because, like, Steven invited Cal, and now Cal is really mad at me, and I'm pregnant. And I don't want to be stressed out about nothing, you know? I mean, I solve Cal mad whenever she gets mad with Steven, and I'm scared.
So then Cal just walks in. And she's like, hi, I brought brownies. And, like, no one says anything to her. She's like,
no one even speaks to her. They're so rude. Who doesn't say, like, hey, Calla, so nice to see you back. You doing okay? I'm so sorry about your sister. Like, at least try and make it better. What the hell?
But then she says, I mean, they're protein brownies, but they're, like, really good, I swear. So I kind of understand why they're like, fucking witch.
You can't do that, especially in the South, show up with protein brownies.
And Allie's like, oh, they actually don't look, well, not too bad, I guess. She's like, well, it's really hard for me to make effort because, like, it's, like, awkward in here.
So then Casey just sees her because no one's speaking to her. I think she's being perfectly nice, but yeah. No one's speaking to her. And so it's just silence in there. And so Casey's like,
oh my God, my heart, please get me out of here. I gotta go.
Cause, are you hurting? Do you need to leave? Do you need to go to the hospital? Okay. So Casey's like, She starts to like freak out, and Cole's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Oh God, Casey's not feeling good. She just collapsed, even though she was just sitting in her chair and didn't collapse at all. But she wanted to stand up, but she stayed sitting. So I think that counts as collapsing, right? Anyone?
And everyone's just surrounding her now in this room, and they're like, oh my God, call the vet, call the vet. And Gala's just sitting there like licking Browning off her finger, like, huh. So they're like, oh my God, what's going on with Casey? We got to get Casey away from evil Gala, protein Browning Gala.
And so they're like, go, call, go, leave, leave, leave. And Cal's like, I literally have goosebumps. Like, I don't like that at all. I'm don't like, come on, Casey, do you want me to come with you? So they basically all like pile into the pickup truck. Like, we're going to the Cameron Hospital. Casey's heart is really bad. She's going to explode any moment. She's going to give birth to a heart.
Then they just leave Cal sitting in the kitchen like, okay, well, glad I came by.
Yeah.
And then we see clips of the season coming up. Real American Cowboys.
And it ends with the FBI investigation and Galena being thrown in jail. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild trailer. I'm going to definitely give it to the show that it served up a very strong, like, coming up this season trailer. Because I was like, wow. If you got the FBI involved, that's always impressive. And jail time and lots of fighting, and it was like a very high fighting trailer. I was like, okay, well, that's definitely a good sign for this show, for sure, for sure. Yeah. It definitely felt like a USA show to me, and not just because it was rural. Did not feel like a Bravo show. But I'm like, I'm gonna keep an open mind about it. You know, there was definitely some entertaining stuff in there, I thought.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what people think of it and how long it'll last. Because,
you know, yeah, I think people are going to like it. I feel like it's going to be a hit. Bravo put in a huge amount of marketing into this. They did they literally created a whole show of like Nick B Dynasty watch parties where they gathered all their talent to watch it. I mean, God forbid they put any of those resources into Real Housewives of Miami, a show that really deserves some sort of marketing budget. But yeah. I think that they really did. They've done a big push, and the show already does have an audience. And I think it's gonna be one of those things where we're all gonna be, well, you've already watched the first season, so you're hooked. But I think for the rest of us, it's gonna be like, I don't want to watch this show that's clearly for the USA that they're just gonna wedge onto Bravo. This just is not right. But I think we're all gonna get hooked. So I'm anticipating it, and I'm just gonna be chill about it and go along for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, some shows that have taken off on Bravo, I never thought were Bravo type.
Exactly.
Below Deck.
Southern Charm.
Still weird.
Below Deck.
Below Deck does so well on Bravo. So
100%. Vanderpump Rules. Remember, we hated that at first. So like, get this show off our TV. But I'm like, in terms of like shows where I've had like not an amazing like initial reaction off of it, like this one's far better than Vanderpump Villa is like my, that continues to be what I judge them all against. Like, is it better than Vanderpump Villa? Much better. So
I remember the one that you hated the most out of every show. I think one of the only ones that you've ever said, no, we're not fucking covering this. Cause usually that's me who's like, no, I'm not doing it. But there was only one that you did that to. And it was that one about the mom group in like, yes, Santa Monica, and yes, they would like get together and have mom meetings and stuff. And it was, they were trying so hard, and you were just like, oh, hell no to this show. I will not do it.
I did not like that one. I think in retrospect, I may have been too harsh on that one. I also remember really outright rejecting, we both did, a show that Bravo tried to do called LOL Work, which was worse than you could ever. That's probably the very worst show that Bravo ever aired, was LOL Work. That was just the stupidest idea.
Yeah, you never know. I was just watching it because I was watching this one because I had to put together furniture one weekend, and that's so hard, you know? And so I just needed something mindless. So I thought, I'll just check out this McBee thing. And at first I was like, we're never going to cover. There's no way, A, that Ben will cover this. And then B, I don't want to cover this either, really. I think we're going to agree that this sucks. But then as it started going on, I was like, oh, I can see the Bravo in it. And that,
yeah,
they're fighting over millions of dollars first. So there is money there, even if it's fake and they don't really have it, which is very Housewives, right? And then the other thing was that the men are such assholes on it.
Yeah.
Which is very Southern Charm and Summer House, mm-hmm, you know, where you're always like kind of rooting against the men. So I think that it has that, you know, boys will be boys and boys just can't grow up and commit. It's got that thing going for it. But I don't know. I ended up really loving it, but mostly because of Galena and Steven Sr., who's just clearly, even before all this stuff came out, or that I knew about this stuff, he's clearly a criminal. And all of this stuff about, oh, we keep calling insurance, we can't call insurance anymore. I'm like, here, it's total fraud. I mean, it's just like the writing was on the wall, you know, so to watch them kind of get taken down was pretty fun. And they gave a lot for a new cast, you know?
Yeah. I think that it'd be interesting to see what Bravo does with it. I almost wonder, are they going to slowly transition the show into more of a Bravo tone? Because like Bravo is more than just like showing luxury. There's a certain way that they just present their shows that's almost hard to describe. But like you can tell the difference between a show that airs on like A&E versus Bravo versus USA versus E. There's like a different aesthetic, a different pacing, a different way of doing the editing. And I wonder if they're like, maybe we'll start the first episode a little bit more like USA, so that with the old people who are like already fans, who will be the base of the show, won't feel alienated, but we'll slowly tonally change it. It'll be a little bit fit more like the Bravo vibe, because that to me was really the issue for me, was that just it had like, it just felt like a different network on Bravo.
Well, it's because it's Peacock, you know? And but I think they figured, well, it gets huge ratings on Peacock, and then we've still got the straight guy audience with, like, Summer House and Vanderpump Rules, you know, the straighter guy shows. And so they're like, we'll just play to that audience, you know? So yeah. I don't know that they'll Bravo it up. I think it's pretty good as it is, honestly. And look, we're already getting mail like this. We just got this email, just came in. Hey, loves, listen to y'all every day. All I have to say is fuck Steven Jr. He's such a cocksucker. I wonder if he realizes how much of an asshole he acts like. Also, on the first episode of the second season, he doesn't even know what certain parts of a tractor are. I couldn't stop laughing. He's not a farm boy. Love.
Wow. So. Well, people are already feeling things, so I guess there's that. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Bravo's trying all sorts of new things. They've also got what's it called? Queen's Court that's coming out. That's like they're doing more dating stuff, probably in the wake of Love Hotel, etc. So Bravo is definitely trying to expand its horizons for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We will be back not next week with this, but the following week we'll probably try McBee again, see how it goes. Let us know what you think. Do you even want us to cover it? Tell us what you think, guys.
Yeah.
We'll listen. And thanks so much. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye,
everyone. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a B in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola
Al-Kalani.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett. There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do the Sydney Congdon.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.